1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. From snow to tornadoes, a large swath of the country is experiencing severe weather, and CBS's David Parkinson says Northern California is going to get walloped again by 2 days of rain.
We've got a combo of flooding and also a high wind warning now in effect from Wednesday morning through Thursday afternoon. Wind gusts possible to 60 miles an hour, so could be seeing some power outages as a result of that. In addition, the amount of rain that we're expecting to see out of this could be anywhere in the 3 to 6 inch range.
As California braces for another atmospheric river, the damage from last weekend's flooding is appearing around the San Francisco Bay Area. KCBS's Matt Bigler.
One sinkhole shut down the entrance to the Oakland Zoo, and another 20-foot-long monster south of San Francisco swallowed a parked SUV.
We saw the car just going down.
Just going down to the hole?
Yeah, going down the hole.
The vehicle is likely a total loss, but neighbors are more worried about their homes if the pit gets any bigger.
Another deadlock in the vote for U.S. House Speaker, second in line to the presidency. CBS's Scott McFarlane on Capitol Hill.
Kevin McCarthy told us his party, his conference remain unified, but after three ballots of voting for House Speaker, it's the opposition that remains unified. 20 members of the House Republican Conference not voting for Kevin McCarthy, complicating his trajectory towards the speakership.
This is the first time in 100 years a House Speaker nominee has failed to win the vote with his party in the majority. Voting resumes tomorrow afternoon. A man arrested in the killings of four University of Idaho students has agreed to be extradited to Idaho to face charges. Brian Koberger was arrested last Friday at his parents' home in eastern Pennsylvania. CBS's Michael George.
CBS News has learned a family pool of DNA from an ancestry database was used to link the Washington State University criminology graduate student to the scene of the murders, 15 minutes away from his school.
Guilty plea in a terror case in New York City last year, CBS's Matt Piper.
Frank James opened fire on a busy New York City subway last April in Brooklyn, wounding 10 people. The 62-year-old has now pleaded guilty to terror charges. He referred to himself as the Prophet of Doom in online posts before the shooting. In court, James admitted his intention was to cause serious bodily injury to the people on the train.
Actor Jeremy Renner thanks fans for their support following an accident near his Nevada home that has left him with serious injuries. Authorities in the Reno area say the actor was injured after being run over by a snowplow when he got out of it while trying to help a relative. They call it a tragic accident. $785 million up for grabs in tonight's Mega Millions jackpot drawing. The numbers are 41, 33, 25, 44, 29, and the Mega Ball is 18. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40-by-60-foot building or a 50-by-100 clear span building at end-of-the-year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, January 4th. In Wood County, the Conservation, Education, and Economic Development Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. In Portage County, the Public Library Board of Trustees will hold their meeting at 4:30 p.m. in the Portage County Annex Building, Conference Room 5. The Stevens Point Park Commission will meet at 6:30 p.m. in the Community Room at 933 Michigan Avenue in Stevens Point. In Adams County, the Planning and Zoning Committee will meet from 3 to 6:30 p.m. at the Adams County Courthouse in Boardroom A230. Powers Bluff closed their tubing and ski runs on Friday, December 30th because of the melting snow and dangerous conditions. They are still closed and waiting on more snow and colder temperatures to improve conditions. Maintenance staff are working to prep the area and keeping an eye on conditions in the park. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a mixture of precipitation likely. Lows around 33, east winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow, high of 34, cloudy 28 tomorrow night, snow showers likely. About an inch of snow overnight through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Thank you for joining us today during your lunch hour. Welcome back to work for everyone who is finally back to work. Welcome back to 2023. Welcome to 2023. If you had yesterday off and it still felt like last year a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. They were back on the roads this morning, that's for sure.
Yes, indeed. And 2023 means not a new governor, but a re-inaugurated. I don't even know.
Second term.
And it is happening live right now. I think in the back of my brain, I knew that inauguration was happening today. But, you know, you get in the motions of your life and your work. And I had reached out to Senator Agard, Melissa Agard, because she had given an interview saying about how she wants to make sure that Democrats are reaching out to more Republican areas and that you can't just keep crying about gerrymandered maps and that you actually have to put the work in to areas where and put both work and money into areas that are lean Republican and that you can't just say it's not fair. And I thought that was a very good, she's a new leader. I thought that was a very good sentiment. So I reached out to her asking if she would want to come on the show. She said, absolutely. And I gave her the time slots of today at 12 or 1230. And her assistant said, bruh, that's during the inauguration. They did not say that. That's how I interpreted it. But they very kindly said, what about Friday?
We're kind of busy.
Senator Agard will be here on Friday to talk about that topic. But right now is sitting in the rotunda of the Capitol. And I have it streaming live, I think, from Fox 6. I don't recognize who's speaking right now, but it looks, I can see in the back, whoever's sitting behind her is Josh Call. And I don't know, I don't think Governor Evers has spoken yet.
He's probably at the end.
He's probably at the end, but I think the initial thoughts or whatever has been leaked to the press as far as what the hope and message of his speech is going to be is ideally for more bipartisan unity, which I feel like, I don't know, I feel like that's been, I feel like we've heard more sentiments from both sides of potentially letting this term be a little different. I don't think it's going to be perfect. I don't think there's going to be harmony, but I feel like there's some things that Voss has said in the last month, there's things Evers has said in the last month that make me feel that it's not going to be maybe as gridlock, but again, of the two of us, I'm a more optimistic person, so I have a feeling that you don't think anything's going to change.
Well, let's not forget that Governor Evers, in his second term now, still has over 180 appointees, almost 200 people, who he appointed at the beginning of his first term that have still not even gotten hearings.
Yep. And it includes 5 cabinet members.
Yes. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. And I think the only reason that Robin Voss is doing anything in the most minute way to imply that he is willing to work with the governor is because he almost lost by 300 votes.
To Adam Steen.
Yes.
What do you think Adam Steen's doing now?
probably working for Derek Van Orden.
Oh.
Those people.
He's getting sworn in today.
Those people all land somewhere.
There is something to be said about the just by running, even if you have no intention on winning, in order to get your foot in the door in another way.
Look at Scott Walker's kids.
They haven't run for anything.
No, but they're working for campaigns.
Certainly, but I'm saying, you know, let's think of Kevin has an office right around the corner in Waukesha. He stepped down for governor. The governor's race.
Michaels. Kevin. Tim Michaels.
No. There's Tim Michaels, but then in the primary.
Oh, Kevin Nelson.
Nelson. Thank you. I wanted to say McCarthy. I was like, nope.
No.
That's the white guy who wants to be Speaker of the House. You know, he stepped down, and I think the backdoor politics of that, or the behind-the-scenes politics of that, is the conversations of favors, back, you know, the dealings that happen of future. He's a young guy. Where this leads him in the party, what position this puts him in the party, and all these different things. And so you're probably right. It'd be interesting. Now I want to look it up and see what Adam Steen's doing these days. And, you know, he seems a little bit like an ideologue, though. Like, I think he was in it because he really just thought Robin Voss was not doing a good job, not necessarily because he wants to be part of the GOP establishment.
Maybe he's moved to Colorado and he's working for Lauren Boebert now.
Maybe. Well, as things progress, I don't know. Is Inauguration Day typically a news-filled day?
Not in my experience.
All right.
It's certainly newsworthy and will be mentioned in the news. But to run the inauguration, the whole event from beginning to end, I just don't know that that's good broadcasting.
No. I'm just saying, as far as things, like, do you think there's going to be stuff for us to talk about it from tomorrow? Do you think there's going to be salacious things happening at the gala tonight?
Wouldn't that be something? If there was some salacious rumor stemming from Governor Tony Evers' second inauguration, there was somebody did something improper during the shottish. It was the catastrophe.
Someone was overserved. So, well, other news of the day that I found interesting. So apparently, granted, everything is relative. But apparently 2022 was a bad year to be a billionaire.
Oh, was it?
If there's ever a bad year to be a billionaire, I doubt it. But
no, I won't sleep tonight.
Between crypto implosions and yacht seizures, tech stock wipeouts, the world's 500 richest people lost a collective, wait for it, $1.4 trillion in net worth in 2022.
Wow.
But I think they're still doing okay.
You know, Kristen,
I don't think it was wiped out. I think they just lost more money than most countries' entire GDP.
It just means that your ninth villa is going to have to wait a little longer.
And in that category, because of Tesla's stock wipeout, Elon Musk became the first person in history to lose more than $200 billion.
What an accomplishment, Elon. Stand up, man.
Man.
You earned it.
And he still owes more money because as of right now, rent is due. Twitter is getting sued because they owe $136,000 in rent for their San Francisco office.
Well, that's not very much money.
And, I mean, for him. But yeah, as of December 21st, the guy who owns the building, Twitter's in a 7-year lease in downtown. If they're still in the same building from when I lived there, I know exactly where this is. But yeah, they're getting sued because he needs to pay rent.
Well, and I don't know if you saw this last week, but also going around Twitter was that he fired all the maintenance staff because they couldn't afford them anymore. So now employees have to bring in their own toilet paper. Because there's no one to stock the bathrooms.
Wow.
Can you imagine working for a billionaire and you have to bring in your own TP?
Is that really true?
I haven't vetted it. Again, I saw this on Twitter, number of different feeds. But he's cost-cutting all over the place. I don't find that outside the realm of possibility.
Which, having worked in tech, Now, I never worked at Google. I never worked at Facebook. I never worked at the like massive big boy tech companies. I did work for one that was well funded. I feel like I worked for one that was kind of the poster child of the tech boom, where it was a good idea. They were just flooded with so much money, and the founders were 20-something boys. I'm just going to say it.
Essentially.
They hired a bunch of other 20-something boys.
Dude!
Who just felt like it was this trend of so much money getting flooded into all these different founders who were smart. But they would grow fast. But the burn rate at which they were spending money to try to compete for workers. And so I went from a smaller startup where, you know, I was commuting. I lived in San Francisco, and I lived in, and the office was in Mountain View. So there, without traffic, if I left at 6 in the morning, it was 45 minutes. The traffic was always bad. So it was taking me two and a half hours to get home.
Oh, my gosh.
But it was a great opportunity because I learned a ton, and it was super small, but it was not glamorous. Like, it was, we were not spending money like this. So then I got poached, and I got a job here, and I could walk to work, and it was great. We had a downtown San Francisco office that was in this beautiful old building, and we had stocked fridges. We had a game room. We had multiple ping pong tables. We had a thing at one point where you could just gift your coworker $100.
What?
That paid for by the company. You could just say, good job, man. And they got an extra $100 on their paycheck. It was, we had the best health insurance. Like, the amount of money they spent on employee perks was incredible.
Wow.
And yes, I still walked away from that job. Because I was like, I don't want to sell software for the rest of my life. I want to go do YouTube videos on
something else.
You know? But so I'm saying all of this to say the amount of how spoiled engineers and salespeople and a lot of the folks who work for tech companies in Silicon Valley, which includes San Francisco. And to think the fall from working at, I'm sure, which was, you worked hard, but was very cushy in the San Francisco Twitter headquarters, to now having to bring in your own toilet paper because there is no one there to clean the bathrooms is a bit of a switch. And I can't imagine how many people are still that bought in on the mission. But maybe, who knows? I mean, there's been layoffs everywhere. So maybe there's just the environment's so different that this run on the high value of engineers, and now that they're not, maybe they're the high ticket of them because as everyone's cutting back, maybe they're feeling like they have to stay and they have to put up with it.
You know, it's tough out there, guys. Most people don't have multiple ping pong tables and $100 you can just give coworkers. It's not saying it's right. It's just what it is.
The best thing about that is that when I was at that company, I was there when they were trying to scale and start to be more of an enterprise company. And so they started hiring actual adults to come in and run the show. And that was immediately one of the first things. They're like, we hired a CFO who had worked at eBay. He's like, first was the elimination of the $100 random gifts.
I bet that went quick.
And yep. Second was a 10% layoff of the entire company.
Okay. Hello, reality.
All right. When we come back, human composting. It might be different than what you think it is. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Everyday people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How do you locate a support group for widows or housing for an elderly parent? United Way's 211 is free and confidential and provides answers to these questions and more. Dial 211 for community information and referrals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
This is your land, and you love it. Every day you look out your window to watch the wildlife, who also call your land home. The animals who bring life to your land. You know their daily and seasonal habits, what they eat, and when their young are born. As a caring landowner, you can't bear to think about what might happen to them and to this special place in the future. Your dream is for your land to remain this way forever. The Wildlife Land Trust can help you. Keep your land free from development forever and protect the animals you've come to know so well from hunting and trapping. As part of the Humane Society of the United States, the Wildlife Land Trust preserves wildlife habitat and safeguards the animals who rely on it. Without such protections, your dream, your land, and its wildlife could be lost forever. If you have land and wildlife that you want to see preserved and protected, the Wildlife Land Trust can help. Call 1-800-729-SAVE. That's 1-800-729-SAVE. Or go to wildlifelandtrust.org. Your dream, our mission.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man, it all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. We would love to hear from you. How have you made plans for your postmortem? I don't even know the word I want to
use. What are we going to do with you?
What are we going to do with your body? Are you going to be buried? Are you going to be cremated? Are you going to be composted?
New options.
New options, at least in New York. Because in New York, the governor has just signed legislation on Saturday to legalize human composting in the Empire State. And they are one of now five states where this is legal. So Washington, Colorado, Oregon, Vermont, and California. So now six states that in recent years has allowed this eco-conscious burial method. And, you know, I think in New York, especially if you've ever been to New York City, there's not a lot of land left to be burying people. And beyond, obviously, cremation, there's more people who are interested in potentially being composted. And so their body becomes one with the earth, which I think with having a, you know, $5,000 casket disrupts that process as far as your body becoming part of the earth again. And so...
So does embalming.
Oh, yeah. Yes. There you go. I certainly don't think I want an open casket. I have not thought about this very much. I think I want to be cremated. But I don't know. Maybe I'll be composted. What do I care? I'll be dead.
Well, there's that. But some people are very particular.
Some people are very particular. And, but all I could think of was the last season of Ted Lasso, which I'm hoping that the next season, the third and final season, I think comes out this year. I hope comes out this year. I love that show.
I do too.
But in about halfway through the second season, this entire conversation happens. And so let's play that clip.
Roy, if you die, do you want to be buried or cremated? Like if you were hit by a bus today, what do I do?
Go after the bus driver and make him pay for what he did to me. Avenge me, Keely. Avenge me! This funeral's really messing with your head, isn't it?
I found this company and they bury you in a biodegradable sack. So when your body decomposes, it fertilizes the seeds of a fruit tree. That's what I want. Because then you and all the people that love me can eat the fruit from my tree.
That is mental.
Coming from the guy that wants me to ruin a bus driver's life just because he killed you, swerving to avoid a child.
I didn't know about a child.
I love that show.
It is so good. Whenever I feel really badly, I watch that show.
Well, the great thing about that episode is later on, Roy's still screwing with Kylie about this topic, and he just, like, bites into an apple while they're at the funeral, and she gets so mad. But that's exactly how it works. So the body is placed into a specially designed vessel that's surrounded with natural materials like wood chips and alfalfa, and then from there, microbes and bacteria can thrive and break down the body within a month.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would take very long. I'm the daughter of a mortician.
And then families and loved ones can then take the broken down result and into an urn-like container. And so there's a company called Recompose, which is based in Seattle. It's a Seattle-based funeral home that's been leading this movement. And they call them laying-in ceremonies instead of traditional funerals.
I have so many questions.
I don't know if I can answer them, but let's start.
I have so many questions. So it's not like you can take Aunt Philomena and bury her in your backyard
and
let her break down that way. That's illegal. So you have to take the body to this company, which then ostensibly has a place to bury the body to allow it to break down.
And then give you the materials.
And then
back.
Give you the materials.
So you're saying they're adding a middleman because it's capitalism? Is that your point?
Well, it's just... I mean, obviously, you have to keep control over this. You can't have people just dumping bodies all over the place, or it'll be like the desert outside of Las Vegas.
Or like me, inside bodies inside of barrels.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So, obviously, there has to be some regulation, but I think it's a great idea. I really do.
Because
I checked into green burials, which they have a section at Forest Home Cemetery in Milwaukee.
What is that? So, but it's not legal here yet. So what does that look like in Wisconsin?
You don't have to be embalmed. And but you buy a plot and they put you in a very cardboard or biodegradable box or bag and put you in the ground.
So that's what you're leaning towards right now?
I was until even that's like $5,000.
So you want the cheapest option possible.
Yes, but I want to be a tree or a daffodil or something, or turn me into mulch or a nice fertilizer. That would make me happy. And that might be full circle, if you get my meaning.
I do. That's so funny. Would you have, so you don't care about a gravestone?
No. No, we don't have any kids.
Yeah,
I don't go to...
I would visit you.
But I don't...
Where would I visit you? Can I have some of your urn? Can I have a little baby urn with Jane in it?
I'll give you a plant. My husband will give you a plant that I'm part of.
Do you think... You don't think you're going to outlive Paul?
It depends upon how mad I get.
All right, well, let us know. Would you do this? Do you have post-mortem plans that you're very attached to, or does it matter? I think this is fascinating, and I think it's also, you know, I think you make a good point as far as, do we have to pay a company to do this? Is this still a ploy? Is there not an environmentally friendly way to do this that still doesn't cost thousands and thousands of dollars? Because that's a whole topic for a different day, is just the racket of the funeral home industry and how there's like no pricing available and how they just gouge people who are grieving, which we don't have enough time because we have to go to another break. But when we come back, some breaking news about the Supreme Court race that is sad and unfortunate, but is real. And we're going to talk about it. So stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My hands won't be tied down, and I will not lay them down, 'cause I can finally see the truth. So simple, but so clear.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This message is sponsored by WISCaregiver.com. Are you ready to start a meaningful career? Now you can get paid while you receive free certified nurse aide training. WISCaregiver.com will connect you with employers all across Wisconsin. You choose the location where you'll earn while you learn to become a CNA and receive a $500 bonus. Get paid while you receive free certified nurse aide training through WISCaregiver.com.
Get your free start in healthcare. Register today at WiskCaregiver.com.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Wisconsin enjoys a rich history in broadcasting, which we celebrate at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. I'm Michelle Vetterkind, president of the WBA. We honor those who have devoted their careers to serving their local communities as legendary broadcasters. They are personalities, owners, engineers, and educators. It's an experience that's free for all to enjoy. Visit the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame, located inside the Milwaukee Hilton City Center.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Jean of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. A garage burned down in Wisconsin Rapids this morning. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department responded to a report of a fire on 10th Avenue North in Wisconsin Rapids. The resident of the house is safe. The Wisconsin Rapids Fire Department requested assistance from the Grand Rapids and Port Edwards Fire Departments. In the village of Elderon, police responded to a 911 call from a 79-year-old man who was stabbed during an altercation with a 22-year-old on Monday night. According to Marathon County Sheriff Chad Billab, the 79-year-old man was stabbed in the face during the incident and he grabbed and fired a handgun. The 22-year-old fled the house with the gun. The man was able to call 911 and reported the incident. He didn't think the bullet hit anyone, but when police arrived, they found the 22-year-old dead in a vehicle near the house. No names have been released yet, and detectives are investigating the incident. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter weather advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Cloudy skies expected overnight with a mixture of precipitation likely. Lows around 33, east winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow, high of 34, cloudy. 28 tomorrow night, snow showers likely. About an inch of snow overnight through Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 34.
Easily, you can just tell them to follow As Goes Wisconsin on any social media. We link all the podcasts of every day on Twitter, on Facebook. You can find it on asgoeswisconsin.com. But we would love your support if you like our show. Tell more people that they would probably like it too.
Yeah, definitely. And I have to say, on behalf of you and on behalf of Brooke, you guys do such a good job with the blog and all the links that you put in. So anytime we have a guest and you want to find out more or they're referencing an article, all of that stuff is there. So you don't have to go hunting for it by yourself. They got it all for you on the blog.
Absolutely. So I didn't want to cover this story, but I feel like we have to cover this story. I got a heads up last night that there was going to be breaking news about the Supreme Court election.
Here in Wisconsin.
Here in Wisconsin. We don't, because we don't elect U.S. Supreme Court justices, as much as we wish
no,
we could.
No, we buy them.
Yeah. And I was doing what I do in the morning. I was checking all the different sources that I checked to do the headlines and fill out the rest of the outline for the day's show. And Daniel Bice over at Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I don't want to diminish his work, but he is kind of like Wisconsin's TMZ political reporter, right?
Muckraker.
Yeah, like he is the guy who both sides always, you know, the stories he wrote about Mandela. Obviously, people on the left were very upset about some of the things that they were like, he has a grudge against Mandela. But then he's usually the guy who breaks the stories that are the things that campaigns do not want to get out.
From people's pasts.
And, you know, this story immediately makes me think about the George Santos thing. It's like, how did this guy get through the entire election? How did, in New York City, basically, because even though it's in Congress, so he's Long Island? Long Island.
I think so.
How did no one catch any of his, and everything that's coming out right now? How was none of this vetted in a seat that was flipped? This was not, that was not a race where, oh, well, it's always red or it's always blue.
Sure.
There was no opponent, there was no challenger. And whatever. So, again, thinking about that and the fact that he lied about apparently everything and was never caught in that lie before until he was actually elected, we're now in the throes of a race for Wisconsin Supreme Court that is, I can't overstate how consequential this election is going to be. And right now we have four different candidates, two that are ostensibly conservative, right-leaning, that the right is going to support, two that are left-leaning that the left is going to support, but we have the primary in February and the general in April. And the story this morning, one of the four is a black man, Everett Mitchell, who is a Dane County judge. I have not talked to him yet. I know Earl has talked to him on this show. I think he's been on Devil's Advocates before.
So I'm sure.
He's been interviewed a couple times. We're in the process now that the New Year's started of trying to get all the candidates on the show and inviting them. I do not know who I'm going to vote for yet. I have more research that I have to do. I know friend of the show, Angela Lang, who is the head of Block, who's a dear friend of mine. They've already thrown support behind Mitchell. And this story tomorrow, this morning, I think is going to make it a lot harder for him, and not for any other reason than some of the stuff we saw with Mandela. And it's there's so much on the line. So the headline reads, Supreme Court candidate Mitchell's custody battle included an allegation of abuse from his ex-wife. Both now say they've moved on. So he got divorced over 10 years ago. His ex-wife, it was a divorce custody battle in 2010. And during that time, his ex made an accusation that she sexually assaulted her. He was never charged, let alone convicted of anything. And they now are they've both moved on. This has been something in his past that was never even, like, you know, it was never
scrutinized.
And this was well before I think he was a judge. But it just brings up more conversations because I have a feeling if he were to win the primary, and we know how racist the Ron Johnson ads against Mandela Barnes were, how much fodder does this give whoever would come, whichever the two conservatives that come out to stoke those flames again? And I don't have any judgments. This is something that, this is why I would never, not that I have anything like this in my past, but like the things that get brought up from your life and then the way that they can get spun is, I know, part of the game and part of the reason why they say your campaign manager is supposed to say, tell me anything that ever could happen. But, you know, for something that, like you said, he denies it. He says unequivocally, no, this never happened. He never got charged for it. It was never pushed further beyond, it sounds like from the article, what she told her therapist and what happened inside the courtroom. but it's there now and it's out there, and you can bet your bottom dollar that it's going to be used.
What I find so interesting is that for some candidates, it doesn't seem to matter what's in their past.
What do you mean?
You look at Eric Greitens, who I don't believe he won in Missouri in this last, in the November election. But, I mean...
Oh, is that the former guy who had, like...
He tied up a woman in his basement, yes, and took pictures of her against her will and then tried to blackmail her with him. And then he still was out on the campaign trail, yeah, and got all kinds of endorsements from all... Look at Mark Sanford.
Look at Herschel Walker.
Right. I mean, for some, look at George Santos. For some, it just doesn't, oh, that doesn't matter. And then for others, it's like, whoa.
And I know neither you or I are going to be able to answer this question objectively. Because I would say my gut instinct is this happens way more with Republican candidates who have tawdry pasts. That's the word you want to use. And the party decides that, well, this is what we got. We're pushing forward. Versus, I think sometimes there is more. I mean, look at
Al Franken.
That's exactly. My brain, despite not drinking right now, which we're going to talk about in the next hour, my recall and referential brain right now is not working. And usually I can blame, oh, I'm a little hungover. Not hungover, because I wanted to say Al Sharpton. Not Al Sharpton, Al Franken. And I'm sure if anyone's listening, there's on both parties have done this with candidates where they've just said, oh, let's move forward. Let's just like sweep it under the rug. This doesn't matter. This is our best shot. This is our best candidate. I don't know. And I don't know how this works because I haven't been back in Wisconsin long enough to know the party's role, especially in a situation where there are two more conservative judges and there's two more liberal judges, even though this is a nonpartisan race.
Allegedly.
And the amount of money, support, backing that happens, not even just with the actual official party, but the insiders, the political consultants, the people who are, you know, who are in every cycle with the insider, with the fundraising and the strategy and the establishment for both sides and who they're backing and how much it happens because of who they think can win and how much they're potentially trying to sabotage, because it's a, you know, it's a competitive primary, which no matter what is going to have, especially for the primary, will have low turnout because it's in the spring. We always have lower turnout for nonpartisan municipal and local elections like this. There may be so much money that by the time we get to the general, there's an uptick. Like, there's probably more people who are going to vote for this than they voted for superintendent in 2021. When I think that, you know, for Deb Underley, I think it was not Deb Underley versus Deb Kerr. I think it was like 10%.
That's so sad.
The electorate voted in that one. So I'm sure there will be more of a turnout, but I'm not sure we're going to get like 3 million votes like we did in November.
And we should.
And we should, because
this is such a, this is so important.
But it's, but you can't not report it, like in Bice's position, for any of this. And this is, you know, this is, like I said, he is the muckraker of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the reporting that he does. And it's, there's stories on, he was the one who broke the story on Doro as far as
the case
that happened where it was an abuse case and he was had time to before he had to show up to jail. And in that time, he went and stabbed his in-laws. And, you know, these are the stories that he writes.
Tim Michaels, the allegations of sexual misconduct within that company.
Was he also the one who wrote Tim Michaels?
Did he write that?
Well, I think it was that, but it was also the story about how often Tim Michaels calls the police.
Oh, when his dog runs away?
Karen Michaels. Tim Karen Michaels. Or how he didn't know where his wife was, or that his, so he said the police to go to his wife, how he didn't know that his wife had called the guy to, like, fix the boat.
Yeah.
And so he called because he thought someone was stealing his boat.
Yeah. Oops.
I think that was all Bice. And so I'm not saying you can't write the story, but it is such an unfortunate piece of our political makeup and our political campaigning that these stories get written. And potentially, this makes it impossible for him to win in Wisconsin if he were to make it through the primary.
Again, I don't know. There was no conviction. There was no actual complaint filed.
But look what happened with Mandela.
Yeah, but...
You don't think that the amount of the how do they not just take that playbook of what Ron Johnson did with the black man running for a seat and his... The straight up lies. Because, like, this is a think about what happened. This was what we were talking about a couple weeks ago when Matthew Rothschild came on and he said the history of kind of what the turning point was for not only how much money is spent on Wisconsin Supreme Court races, but how it got so ugly and so partisan was around the time Michael Gableman won his race. And that was and he had beaten the first and only black justice that sat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court and outright lied. And that was fine. And he was never held accountable for that. And so we have to admit that this is a racist state. That we have Milwaukee is year over year considered one of the worst places to be black. It's so segregated. It's not only just as the city of Milwaukee in the state, right? You go to a lot of parts of this state and it's all white people. And so there is still to be a statewide candidate as a black person in this state. The clean slate you have to have, you can't not put that into your calculus as you decide to run and as the people who want to support you when so much is on the line with this race that it's just, I mean, I don't know. I think that in reality, this story just makes me really sad because even if it's not true and this is a spat between an ugly, ugly divorce that now is getting raked back up and is stoking the flames of something that's going to potentially really good candidate. Because everything I know about this guy is that he is a good judge. He's a good community member. I think he's also a pastor. Like, he is a very good man and I think will be a good candidate. And if because of our short-sightedness and our leanings towards salacious stories like this and a condemnation of his character, this just torpedoed his campaign.
But I think sometimes, and in the case of Mandela Barnes, who I really liked.
Yeah.
I think sometimes there is a reluctance for them to take it head on. And with the claims that were made about Mandela and him not paying his taxes and not paying his property taxes, I wish he had sat down, and maybe he did and I missed it, but more than once, and said, this is what happened, here's how this happened, here's why it happened, here's what I did, how it was rectified. And instead of hoping it's going to go away and the media attention will die down, I think you need to address these things head on.
And he is. I mean, he didn't.
That's the best way to do it.
He gave a statement for the article. I'm sure this will not be the last. I mean, this just broke this morning. It was published at 6 a.m. And I think it got pushed down in the news cycle because of all the NFL stuff. But I'm sure it's not the last that we'll hear from it. All right. Well, we're going to take another break. When we come back, five more things that are very simple with very little effort.
Happy holidays from WFHR. It's that time of the year when you share Christmas cheer with people that you know. No matter where you go, you can always see a glow in the people you meet as you walk down the street. The magic really shows. Happy holidays from WFHR. With this song that we sing, we hope to bring happiness to your heart. Merry Christmas to you from WFHR.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Dawn 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
Welcome back to Ask Us Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. A reminder that we love getting suggestions on things to talk about. If you have a topic that we should cover or a guest we should have on, shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. Now, we are doing a thing for this month because that's about as long as resolutions usually last for. But I found, you know, I'm trying to do Dry January, which we're going to talk about next hour.
Right.
Trying to, in general, have a more positive... It's not that I'm not a positive person. I am
a positive person.
I am very hard on myself. So I am trying to look at the positive of the work that I'm doing versus beating myself up all the time. So those are two of my bigger things that I'm focusing on for this month. But I found in The Guardian, this was published on January 1st, 100 ways to slightly improve your life without really trying.
Love these.
Which feels like, you know, but they're the kind of things I can sign up for instead of big, momentous, you know, decisions as far as like, I'm going to change my entire life and then you don't do it. So we did 5 yesterday. We're going to do 5 every day. And we'll see how many really stick and how many actually make sense. But we go through them. Jane and I discuss how easy we think they are to do. You went for a walk yesterday.
For 25 minutes. My goal was 40. I didn't know when I came in yesterday that we were going to do that, so I didn't have my workout stuff, and I was wearing jeans, and so anyway, but yes, I did 25 minutes, and I really was happy about it.
Good!
Yeah, I felt really good about it.
See?
Today it's probably not going to happen because it's raining.
It is raining today.
But that's okay.
But what you were acting off of is workout on a Monday, because nothing actually fun happens on Mondays.
You're not going to miss anything.
And so it's not workout every day, it's workout on Mondays. At least commit to that. All right, so... For today, we're starting with number 6. Everyone has an emotional blind spot when they fight. Work out what yours is and remember it.
Ooh. Ooh, that's tough.
That doesn't seem like no effort. That seems like therapy.
I was going to say, you're right. That sounds like referee.
The blind spot when you fight.
So, is this how to figure out how you're fighting unfairly?
Maybe. I think it's, you know, what is your defense mechanism? What is the way that you don't see the other person's side? I don't know.
That sounds like it.
It's a little vague.
Not seeing the other person's side, I think.
That's yours.
Well, I think you're blind side, so you're not seeing your opponent's perspective. You might be onto something there.
Maybe, yeah. That was a little up for interpretation of what that means, but that was number 6. Number 7, plant spring bulbs, even if they're just in one spot.
It's too late.
What'd you say?
It's too late. You can't do it now.
Well,
you could, but they're not going to bloom in spring.
They're not going to bloom by spring.
No.
What would be considered spring bulbs? I do not have a green thumb.
Those are daffodils and tulips and hyacinths and crocus.
Okay.
And stuff like that. But those you normally plant in October and November.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead and plant bulbs.
Plant bulbs in the fall so they can spring. They can sprout in the spring.
And we're going to do that at Mike's house in fall.
Okay.
Because you will love it when they come up in spring.
Well, I know what it looks like at my mom's house when the tulips pop up, and it's beautiful.
It's just the happiest feeling.
Because you're like, it's here.
Yes.
Spring, it's the winter.
Hopeful.
The winter is almost over.
Right.
All right, number 8, send a voice note instead of a text. They sound like personal mini podcasts.
I think that's a lovely idea.
The only thing about those is that I think if you don't send them correctly, there's something where they they disappear.
Oh.
So you can't save them. Because actually, a friend of the show, Charlie Behrens, was listening to our show, and he sent me a voicemail, a little voice message that said how much he appreciated the show. And that made me feel great.
Right.
And so, yeah, I would say, because I sometimes talk to text, but you're right. Instead of just sending, I could just send this as a little voicemail that you can play inside your texts, and then you hear them, and you hear the, you don't get, it's not like a mini podcast, but you also can't misinterpret what people are trying, the tone people are taking.
That's a good point. That's a good point. But I find it interesting that generationally, like my niece is 40, my great niece is 26. They never listen to voicemail messages.
Yeah.
So why would this be different?
I think because it's in
the text.
The text.
Okay.
Versus a separate thing. And we get so many voicemails from, I'm calling about your car warranty.
Yeah, telemarketers.
So my inbox is full of spam that has left a voicemail, because the only people who really leave me a voicemail is my mother. Maybe Mike, but mostly my mother and con artists. All right, number 9. Keep a bird feeder by a window, ideally the kitchen. It'll pass the time when you're washing up. I just bought my sister-in-law a bird feeder for Christmas.
Did you?
Mm-hmm, because she works from home.
And it's great.
I thought that would be a nice little thing to... Maybe we should put a bird feeder outside our awning on the Waukesha studio.
The only drawback is that it does attract rats and squirrels. See, here I am, the killer of joy.
Speaking of, I got another squirrel story, and then we'll get to number 10. Mike did not take the garbage all the way to the garbage can on New Year's Eve.
Okay.
So he just left it on our stoop.
Uh-oh.
And I woke up New Year's Day to take Cliffy out, and there was like 3 little squirrels burrowing into the garbage and immediately ran away. So I took Cliff on his walk because I was like, I'll deal with this when I come back. Came back. They were back in there. They didn't make too much of a mess, luckily. But then I went and rebagged and took it away. So it wasn't as traumatic as Cliff bringing me the dead squirrel or the squirrel being in the house, but added to the lineup of squirrel stories. Ah, all right.
You're just destined.
Number 10 for today. 5 for today, 10 on this list. Always bring ice to house parties. There's never enough.
That has never occurred to me.
Really?
I mean, if it's an outdoor thing, but then I would usually ask, is there anything you need? Do you need ice? Sure, I'll bring ice. But I wouldn't just out of hand say, I bought you 5 pounds of ice.
Well, maybe you should. Because
people's
ice machines don't work fast enough. And if people are pounding ice, because you know how much Americans love their ice.
That's true.
That it's a good, cheap contribution to the party.
Maybe that's why I'm no longer invited anywhere. I don't bring ice.
What do you usually bring? A bottle of wine?
Yeah.
This is probably cheaper.
Than a bag of ice?
No, the ice is cheaper than the wine, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
I hope the ice is cheaper than the wine, unless you're buying really...
really fine ice.
Really, to $2 Chuck. Although, you know, shout out to $2 Chuck. Every once in a while, that's really good. And so, all right, well, I think those are easy enough. Although the first one still, everyone has an emotional blind spot. That takes a little bit more work to think of.
I think it's about thinking about, well, we can bounce it off Dr. Mike on Thursday.
There you go. We'll talk more about that. All right, well, we'll do 11 through 15 tomorrow. And we'll just keep powering through these and see how many we can actually incorporate and adopt into our life. All right. Well, we're going to take another break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, a conversation around dry January, trying to be sober, especially trying to be sober in a state like this. All right. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.